We greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That is his name this morning. People ask, is not this the Christ? That was his title. Lord is who he is. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Appreciate your devotion this morning for Sunday school. It's talking about wisdom. Proverbs 9 says, wisdom, I'll get another verse. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Proverbs 9 says, wisdom hath built her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. If you go to James, you have a verse that goes like this. For the wisdom that is from above, and you have seven things. This verse, pure, peaceful, easy to entreat, tender mercies, and I don't know what the rest of them are. If you look at it. It's right in James. That's the wisdom that's from above. Talked about conies and being a delicacy. What is a delicacy? Is it something that's rare? Something that you don't get much of? Something that you can't hardly afford? I would suppose crab is a delicacy. I don't eat crab much. There's a lot of delicacies. But there's a delicacy here this morning that is so precious and costs you nothing. And yet, we lay it aside to read other things. Do we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, said that to Israel, he was actually writing a book, and he said in the book that the commandments of the Lord, which I give you this day, ye shall not add thereto, nor diminish aught from them. I've been impressed with the book of Deuteronomy ever since I preached on the gospel of Moses. The gospel according to Moses, what about? You know, we find that in the New Testament. This morning, the Lord Jesus is exalted above all else. This morning we sang numerous times about Jesus. We pledge our allegiance to him and his word. We believe it, we practice it, and we do it. This message, I'm not sure if it is a message. It is from the Lord because he laid it on my heart, and I didn't want to preach it, but he still laid it on my heart. In fact, I was going to change my mind, but I didn't. And it grew out of a discussion that was discussed at the last minister's meeting after the minister's meeting. And this morning I want to present you a few thoughts to stir up your minds to what the scripture does say about Christ and his kingdom. You can turn with me to Ephesians, and I've heard it referred to this morning already. I think it was Brother Leo read from Zechariah. Ephesians, the third chapter, Paul is writing. I don't know exactly how Paul's distinguished from the rest of the apostles. I know he says he is the apostle to the Gentiles, and he said he magnifies his office. In Ephesians 3, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, we were talking about a little discussion about double prophecies. Maybe you don't know what that is. But one prophecy that I know is a double prophecy that was in the Old Testament, and it's also found in the New. And it's only found one place in the Old Testament that I know of. In the New Testament, it says when Joseph and Mary come back from Egypt, they were going into Galilee, and he heard that Archelaus ruled in the place of Herod, and he was fearful. And he turned aside into Nazarene, and it says that it might be fulfilled according to the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, the only other reference that I can find that relates to that is Samson. When the Lord told him, he shall be called a Nazarene. And he was. And I thought about that a little bit. And you know, I love types and shadows, and maybe we go overboard sometimes on them. But Samson, it is said of him, it said he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And you know, that's what Christ did. Christ only started the deliverance. He has it yet to finish. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11, and you, brethren, probably know what this chapter is all about. I started the wrong direction, but I want to read it. You see, I don't believe that God wrote this book and necessarily made a pattern of how it ought to be. God didn't tell us everything about the Bible. He didn't explain everything. Some things he did, but some things he didn't. And so what Peter prophesied in Joel's prophecy, that's what we was declaring, talking about the other night as well, that it was fulfilled and yet it wasn't fulfilled. And I'd just like to take the time to read at least part of this chapter, Romans 11. I say, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they've digged down that altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, until this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, if they stumble, that they should fall, God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For it is to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving them be but life from the dead? And if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with the partakers to the root, and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. For if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say them, well, the branches were cut off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. If God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut off out of an olive tree which is wild by nature, and when were grafted into a contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these branches, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened unto Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, according to the Apostle Paul, this was a mystery. And as far as I know, the only prophecies in the Old Testament that relate to the church is where they are referred to as being brought into or otherwise. They were not, when we read the Old Testament, Paul said it was a mystery in all the ages to pass, and now it has been revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets. Some of them, as we look at Christ's first coming, some of those things were probably very, very unusual and out of place, but it was prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And that's where he was born. He was prophesied that he would be preceded by a messenger, John the Baptist. And he was. It was prophesied that out of Egypt have I called my son. And I'm sure that the Old Testament saints could not have understood that, how Messiah would come out of Egypt. It was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9 that he would enter Jerusalem on a colt. It was prophesied in Psalm 41:9 that he'd be betrayed by a friend. Psalm 22:6, he would have his hands pierced. In Isaiah 53, he would be wounded and whipped by his enemies. In Zechariah 11:12, he'd be sold 30 pieces of silver. He would be spit upon and beaten in Isaiah 56. Of his betrayal money, thrown in the temple and given for a potter's field, was prophesied in Zechariah 11:13. Zechariah 53:7, it says that he would be silent before his accusers, and he'd be crucified with thieves in Isaiah 53:12. Now, all of those prophecies came to pass, and Matthew is very distinct in saying that this happened so it would fulfill the prophecy of this. Just turn to Zechariah 14. I was partly quoted this morning, but I would like to point out something else in Zechariah 14. I take the time to explain this, that let's go back before I go into this. Let's go back to creation, where God made a perfect world, perfect people in every aspect. Different than we know it today. And by the subtlety of the devil, all of that was corrupted. It was all corrupted, totally. It was not, God knew it was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen when he created Lucifer. Because God knows everything. And so the Godhead was deprived of the very thing that they wanted. They wanted the glory of man. They wanted to commune with man. And all down through the ages, it has been they have not got what they wanted. Israel failed them. Time and time again. And I believe people have failed them today. But if we decide that the Lord will not reclaim all of that, then we have denied him the very existence of why he created the world. Zechariah. You can do with these scriptures what you want. I believe them just like they say it. In Behold, the days come, verse 4, chapter 14, verse 1. The day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, houses rifled, women ravished, and half of the city shall be go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall be cut off, the city. Then shall the Lord go forth to fight against those nations as he did, as when he fought in the days of battle. Now, just stopping at verse 3, I just read in my daily readings, I was going through Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. And the Moabites and the Ammonites with somebody else come up with a very great army. And Hezekiah wept and fasted. He called the people to weep and fast and said, Lord, you know that we are nothing against this great might. Lord, it is yours. You are Lord of the heaven and earth. And we need you. We can't get along without you. And God sent a man, a prophet, and said, don't you worry. You go out to battle. And you go down. He says, they'll come up by the way of Ziz. You'll find them there. And that's where you'll meet them. But he said, this battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. And so they went out the next morning, blowing the trumpets, praising the God who was going to give them the battle. And God went before them and slew a mighty host of people. They never lifted a sword in battle. All they did was praise him. And I forget, it took them, I don't know, so a few days anyhow, 4 or 5 days, to take the booty off all of the captives. the gold and the silver and the coins and all that. That's what Zechariah is talking about here. He said, then shall the Lord. In other words, when these people come in and ravage Jerusalem, some of them are going to go in captivity. And some of them, others will be cut off. And then shall the Lord go forth against those nations as he did in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountains shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azael. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. Now, I don't know what you want to make out of that. I just believe it like it says it. We sang a song this morning, the latter part, about God raising the mountains and lowering the mountains or raising the sea. You know, God can do anything that he wants to. It's nothing for God to have Jesus Christ come back. And it says in at the end of that then that, and the Lord shall come with all the saints with him. Not much more I should read of that. There are so many things. Isaiah is full of the prophecies about our Lord. Jeremiah doesn't say much. Jeremiah was a captivity prophet. He was talking about the people going into captivity. And Ezekiel was a prophet in captivity. He was there by the people of Judah and Israel, along with them, at least with Israel, anyhow. Isaiah 9 is a familiar, it's a messianic prophecy. Nevertheless, the dimness that are shall not be such as was in her vexation when he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more grievously afflicted her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. And the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide spoil. Thou hast broken the yoke of the burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of the oppressor, his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, and this shall be burning in fuel fire. For unto us is a child born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forevermore. Isaiah 11 is another one that was the branch of Jesse. There will come a broad out of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear. And he shall make of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall judge after the spirit of his eyes. He shall not judge after the spirit of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove the back of the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And then it goes on, and the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy it on my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. I didn't write that. The Lord did. The disciples in Acts asked Jesus the question, will thou restore at this time the kingdom to Israel? And they said, you don't know the times or the seasons. Isaiah 18:26 talks about that restoration. In going to Revelation chapter 20, there are some things that progressively happen in Revelation, and to me, prophecy in the book of Revelation is an exciting book because it's when Jesus Christ is wrapping up things of the world. This is the start of what we would term the millennial reign, and that's what makes people out of problem. But if you go back, you can go back to creation again, and for 6 days, God created the world and everything that was in it. And on the seventh day, he rested. So we are at about 6,000 years now, somewhere in that vicinity, for the first 6 days. And then there's another 1,000 years when the Lord will reign with peace on the earth. And this day is the day after the Sabbath, which is the eighth day. And we sing that song about the Lord's day. It's an emblem of eternal rest. And if you go back into the sacrifices and all of those things numerous times, right after the Passover, like for 7 weeks or 7 days, on the eighth day was a holy convocation. After 7 weeks of 7 years, which is 49th year, on the 50th year was the year of Jubilee, when everything went back to its rightful owner. And you see, it's a type so beautiful that after the seventh 1,000 year of rest and peace on the earth, Christ closes things up and we are into eternal rest. That holy day. It's a beautiful picture to me. The eighth day. You know, it all goes back. And Jesus is going to claim everything that he lost in the fall. He's going to reclaim it. He's going to make sure he has it. And I, for one, don't want to deny him the privilege to do that. And then we have chapter 20, verse 1, where he binds Satan, puts him in the bottomless pit. And then at the end of that chapter, in the last two verses, 14 and 15, it says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then, whosoever shall not be found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, that's a combination of the end of that seventh year. And then he starts written 22, 21. He talks about the New Jerusalem, our heavenly home. And I don't think John made this up. I really think he's seen it. He's seen a city. The angel said, It wasn't an angel, but that's what he was called. That's what John called him. Took him up into a high mountain and showed him this new Jerusalem, this city that was descending out of God. And you know the dimensions. It's 1,500 miles square and the same height. The tree of life is there in chapter 22. It has those foundations. It represents the apostles and the prophets and the gates. It has 12 gates. And it's set up just like, again, in the type of the tabernacle. There was three tribes on the north side, three tribes on the south side, three tribes on the west, and three tribes on the east of the wilderness tabernacle. And so the Lord has the same picture there. We have three places where in the scriptures where the Lord, the scriptures refer to a new heaven and a new earth. Now, as to what is in the new heaven and the new earth, I think what I can understand from the scriptures verse 5 of chapter 21. I'll just start at verse 1 and read down to verse 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Right, for these words are true and faithful. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who is subject to the same in hope. You see, what those two verses to me are saying is that the creatures are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. See, they fell, the animal kingdom fell too, birds, everything fell. When sin came into the world, the whole earth, the universe, was defiled. I think Job, it says, even the stars are not pure in his sight. All of those things The whole world became cursed with a curse because of sin. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our bodies. What else can we believe? To our bodies, we will have new bodies. In Luke 24:36. God is a spirit, and they that worship must worship in spirit and truth. But Luke 24, starting at verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto him, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now God is a spirit, but forever Jesus Christ will have a body in heaven, in the new earth. I can't explain that, how he went through doors untouched, but he did. But Jesus will have a body. It will bear the marks and the scars of all eternity, of the things that happen on the earth. Those scars will never appear. When they plucked his beard, they left scars. The thorns on his brow left scars. And those scars will always be a remembrance of what Jesus did. And it's a fantastic thought to think that Jesus bears the marks of his suffering through all eternity, but he gives us brand new bodies without no ailments, without no infirmities. All our fingers will be on our hands. We won't be crippled no more. We'll just have perfect new bodies. What? Such a tremendous thought. You know, I don't think Jesus' wounds scabbed over either. I believe they're as fresh today as they were the day he took him off the cross. Because you see, there was not a thing in his body that defiled him. A scab is caused by cells dying and healing. The Lord didn't have one dead cell in his body. He didn't have one thing dead. He was a total living creature, totally. He was God in the flesh. He was alive and well. That's probably a supposition on my part. As an observation that I would take from the scripture, in the same way with the blood. I don't think his blood ever dried up and died. I believe it's still, if it's here on Mount Calvary, it's down there someplace as fresh as it was the day it came out of his wounds. our blood turns black because the cells die when they hit the air. I don't think his did. He was living. Every cell in his body was living. And it was God that gave himself for us. 1 Corinthians 15. And now, in verse 20, and now is Christ risen, become the first fruits of them that slept. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith he, all things are put under him, yet it is manifest that it is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. I believe that Israel's day is yet coming. Not all of Israel will be saved, but there will be a portion of them saved. God will come. God said in the prophets, he said, can a mother forget her sucking child? But yeah, they may. But he said, I cannot forget you. God cannot forget Israel. They are still his chosen people by a covenant that he made with Abraham forever. And I don't know, wherever you go today, you will find Jews. And they'll be Jews. They may be Russian Jews, American Jews, Japanese Jews, but they're still Jews. You can find them. They have never lost their identity. They may be wicked Jews. They may be terrible sinners, but they're still Jews. God could not forget them. I trust that I've read enough of scriptures this morning, at least to give you something to think about. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and it is true. And after that discussion, Edwin and I had another discussion on the way to Providence ordination. He told me I should preach that. I said, well, yeah, I will. But then I didn't really want to. He said, there's one thing about him. He said, you can preach it and they'll invite you back. So even if you disagree with me, I think I've cleared my heart on what I believe. And what I believe is rightfully Jesus Christ to claim. He has a right to this earth. He not only made it, but he died for it. And he's going to redeem humanity. He's going to redeem the creation. He's going to redeem the world. And I believe when he makes all things new, there'll be a new heaven, new stars, new moon, new sun. We won't need the sun, but it'll be there. A new earth, and everything that's in the earth will be made new, just like it was, just like he made it once before. I really believe that with all my heart. And I'm looking forward to it. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this morning's hour, and it's with a feeling of awe and just not being able to understand the greatness and the power and the majesty of our Creator. But Father, this morning, I just want to lift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the highest level that he deserves, and glorify him, magnify him, and exalt him forever. For he is worthy of it. But Father, just bless this congregation, bless all those who are absent. Father, wherever your people meet together, Lord, bless them, O Holy Father. And Father, help us to see your word as a jewel that is worth having. And we might take it in. We might bind it upon our hearts. Bind it about our necks. Bind it to our fingers. Might have the word hidden in our hearts so we might not sin against thee. Keep us for your glory, Lord, and for whatever you have for us. Lord, just help us to believe and trust. Claim your promises. We pray in Jesus' name.